Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus. With customizable tools and charts you can access across all your devices. Try our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/trader plus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Wednesday. Brought to you, as always, by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They're on the scoreboard with today's Daily Ticker. And in your ham with summertime refreshment, reach for your favorite Pelican Brew at a store near you. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Let's talk some NBA Finals. Game 3 is tonight in Indiana. Joining us now is our good friend Andrew Greif of NBC News, covering the NBA Finals. We had him on last summer for the Olympics as well. He's hanging out in Paris. This guy's all over the map. Now he's in Indiana getting ready to go. Andrew, good morning to you. What have you made of the Finals 2 games in? We get this crazy comeback in Game 1, dominance from OKC in Game 2. Has it gone the way you thought it would? How do we feel 2 games in?
Yeah, I think that the Thunder are just kind of have a peerless amount of depth, and I think that everyone I talked with in Oklahoma City during games 1 and 2 sort of felt that Oklahoma City would win. That was their prediction. I don't think that's really wavered for me, and because of what we saw in game 2, I mean, when you can have Aaron Wiggins come off the bench and score 18 points and Alex Caruso come off the bench and score 20, and that was higher than any Pacer in that game. And they're just the bench guys. They're like the 7th and 8th men. I think that is pretty illustrative of how good and how deep the Thunder are. But game 1, I think, was another indication that this is a young team still, right? And they can make mistakes. And during the playoffs, they've been a little creakier on the road than at home. So I don't think that I'm going into game 3 just sort of assuming that this is 2 more games that are going to be, the Thunder are going to win automatically on the road. We've seen some wildness from them on the road a little bit. Think about the Minnesota series. So I'm very interested in how this game goes. I don't think it's a wrap right now.
Can you walk us back through something? So SGA has an MVP season. The Thunder are a remarkable 68-win team, and they might get an NBA championship. We'll see what happens the rest of the finals. You could always play the hindsight game of like, oh, how dare they? But when they traded SGA from LA, and you covered the Clippers for a long time, you're in LA, I'm curious, when you talk to people around the Clippers, how hard that was for them to do and how much he's maybe even exceeded what their expectations were for him at that moment versus what he is now?
Yeah, I mean, they really thought he was going to be good. I really think that they knew that he was special, and it was hard in the moment to trade him. Like, I remember this is, you know, that trade for Paul George, which effectively triggered the signing of Kawhi Leonard. Everyone thought that was a coup because it was in the moment. But I remember that summer talking to some people within the Clippers and just sort of kind of, I was saying like, hey, how's it going? Like, wow, he's still walking on air. This is probably, 2 months after the trade. I remember very vividly, two people were like, and this is separate conversations. What they told me was basically like, I'm really upset. And I was like, what are you talking about? You just pulled off the trade this summer. And they were like, and they basically were saying that they were so sick that they had to throw in SGA in the save and in the trade. I mean, that's how highly people thought about it in the moment. That isn't revisionist history. That isn't someone going back and saying, well, we already knew he was going to be the MVP. You could never have predicted that. But he had a level of coolness to him that was really apparent really early on. Like, I remember basically every day in practice, he would practice against Pat Beverly. So obviously it's kind of a pest defensively, someone who lived to rile you up and disrupt you and throw you off your pace. And SGA would just sort of like move at one speed. You know, like, you couldn't really disrupt his rhythm. He was like just an amazing sense of like calm on the court. Now, he made mistakes, of course, but like, he just really was able to keep a cool head. And I remember that at the end of his rookie year, if you guys recall, the 8-seed Clippers are playing the Warriors, number 1 seed. This is like the KD's last year. So this is like peak dynasty Warriors. And they had that 32-point comeback win on the road. Mm-hmm. And it was all led by, at the very end, SGA operating, finds an open Landry Shamet for a three ball game. And that's just like a huge spot to put a rookie in. And it looked like he was playing in the first quarter in January. So that's how good he was in the moment. I'm sure they're sick about it now, of course, but they were even mad in the moment, like, oh, we know this guy's going to be good.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus, the next generation of advanced trading from Fidelity. Customize your tools and charts and access them seamlessly across desktop, web, and mobile. For faster trades anywhere you go, try the all-new Fidelity Trader Plus. Learn more about our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/traderplus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Yeah, that's a hard one when you're trying to make a, you know, an all-in move, and that's the piece that they're asking for in order to get the deal done. Andrew Greif is our guest, NBC Sports, getting ready for Game 3 of the NBA Finals. We're in a great stretch right now in the league where we've had, you know, this will be the seventh, I believe, consecutive different champion. And I think it's a welcome sight for NBA fans if it's not just one team or one group that's dominating. We've done it a lot with teams that have won in the past. Boston last year, Denver with Jokic, you know, Milwaukee and Giannis have saying, oh, is this the next run? Is this the next dynasty? I'm not putting the cart in front of the horse. I still got to win three more games. But if OKC is to win this finals, do you have that view of them long term over the next 5 to 6 years in the NBA that this is going to be a group that could tick off a couple of these titles?
I would put them the groups you mentioned in recent memory, the recent champions who we sort of played that game with. Could we see them going on? I would say that Oklahoma City has the best chance of that if they go on and win. Absolutely. They're just young. And it's not even that the core pieces are young. It's that the front office there has a really amazing track record of drafting well, and they have all these picks. You know, like, I think that there was an assumption that when they have all these draft picks that they're going to cash them in for, you know, five picks for a superstar, you know, six picks, something like that. I think that really what the Thunder are shrewdly doing, and it seems to be borne out, is that they know that in this CBA, it is really difficult under the collective bargaining agreement to keep together expensive teams. And like, you look at the Celtics right now, they had that core. It was amazing. It probably could have won them another title this year, but then they get hurt. Circumstances happen. And now they're having to sell off pieces. I mean, I think everyone in the NBA expects the Celtics to make some trades this summer to get off some of that money. So the Thunder also will hit that point where this team, although it's young right now and they're under the salary cap, like they're not in a tough position, but salary cap wise, they will be at one point because these guys are going to get extensions. And having all those picks doesn't mean they necessarily go out and get a superstar. It means you just replenish. You know, you replace the guy who is getting expensive. He has an extension. Okay, you trade him out for maybe some value, and you draft his replacement. And so it's pretty, if that's what they're going to do, which I think what most people in the league think, it seems to be a pretty shrewd way of roster management, of just sort of like keeping your core guys and then around them moving new guys in, moving new guys out. I think that's why they would be set up to have the best chance of success. But look at the 2012 Thunder. We all thought they were going to be back for titles and titles and titles.
Yeah.
And they never were.
Yeah. Last one for me here, Andrew. If this series is shifting back to Indiana and the Pacers are making it a series more so than people give them credit, what's the thing for you with Indiana that if they can hit on this or these areas, you think they can really make this thing more interesting? I think people are kind of resigned, which is unfortunate, that the Thunder are just going to steamroll. We're going back to Indiana tied 1-1. And so, like, they're sitting in a good position here getting home court. What do the Pacers need to do tonight and going forward to have a chance to pull this thing off?
Yeah, I mean, what we have seen in both games so far is the Thunder have just an incredible half-court defense. And we knew this going in, number one ranked defense in the NBA all season, remains that way in the playoffs. So Indiana has been at its best when it's running. It just killed New York in transition in that Eastern Conference Finals. I think that if they are going to have a chance, they have to get easy points and kind of get back to what they do well, which is run fast, get out in transition. And if they can score on Oklahoma City kind of in those non-half-court situations, it's going to make life so much easier for Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam, et cetera.
Andrew Greif, NBC Sports, covering the NBA Finals. Go give him a follow on Twitter at Andrew Greif. Also, his book, Beyond Fast, is going to be coming out at the end of September. It's right up your alley.
Looking forward to it, my man.
Running book. So very good stuff. Always enjoy the conversation, man. Thanks for the time in Portland this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, always appreciate you guys. Let's do it anytime you want.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus. With customizable tools and charts you can access across all your devices. Try our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/trader plus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.